only kept her girlish figure, she doubled it.
Can you top that, Harry Hirschfield?
I'll try.
Can you, Senator Ford?
I really don't know.
How about you, Joe Lurie?
Well, maybe.
And now Pete may never repeat, but Ward is sure to reward. And he'll tell you how. Ward Wilson.
Well, thank you, Charlie Stark. Can you top this as unrehearsed and spontaneous, and our top rule is keep them laughing. Anyone can send in a joke, and if your joke is told by the well-known actor and storyteller Peter Donald, you get $10.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer. Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Each time they fail to top you, you get $5 more.
Can you top this is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
Fight warm up. Are you all set, fellas, to be very witty tonight?
Ready?
Yeah, ring the bell.
All right, here goes the bell for the opening round. And this is on the sent in, incidentally, by John Jager of Astoria, Long Island, New York. And it's on the subject of something you never indulge in, none of you three, I'm sure, bragging. Bragging tonight.
You haven't heard us talk at all, have you?
I wasn't listening. Well, Pete, I hope we have something to brag about after you finish with this one.
Well, it seems that the two ladies from Brooklyn, Sadie DeKalb and Gertrude Gowanus, they were discussing their favorite subject, men, and they were bragging about their boyfriends, and Sadie said,
"You know something, Gertrude? I'm engaged to the most wonderful fella." "Yeah, I'm really, oh, he's so handsome. He's a regular Greek adenoid, you know." "Oh, and he's so smart, too. He's so clever and everything, you know. He's a songwriter. He's a songwriter, and he just wrote the theme song for the Louis Kahn fight tonight. And it's entitled Paying for the Ringside, Sitting on the Outside."
So our friend Gertrude says, "Well, gee, I don't think that's so much. After all, I'm engaged to a very, very important man. Gee whiz, he's a big lumber king. And when we get married, we're going to be very rich, and we're going to have a big house with a hacienda and a patio and a lasagna and all those things. Oh, he's so wealthy. He's a big lumber king. He told me business is wonderful, and he's a big lumber king, one of the very biggest." So the conversation ended, and 2 days later they met again. And Sadie says,
"Gertrude, you're just the one I wanted to converse with. Oh, after all your bragging about your boyfriend, I seen him yesterday. Oh, some phony. Oh, what a phony. I bet even the wool he pulled over your eyes was 50% cotton, honest." "Oh, some phony."
Evelyn says, "What do you mean? You mean he ain't the big lumber king?"
She says, "Yeah, he's the big lumber king, all right. He sells toothpicks to delicatessens."
Up and away. 1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Which automatically gives Mr. Jager $25, puts you boys just out for the last. All three hands up on this round.
Oh, well, that's a subject we know something about.
Yeah. Very familiar to you. All right, Senator, how about you?
Well, I just want to throw this one in. That bragging reminds me of a line that Hedda Hopper had that I think was very clever. She said, "A press agent is a man who hitches his bragging to a star."
Very good.
Oh, that's not a gag. Put it down. That's just a clever line. No, I go ahead. Let the boys get in on this thing.
You want them to start? Well, let's take Harry Hirschfield first.
There's a fellow having trouble with his wife all the time. They fought. No, they hated each other. Scrapped. And one day he had an awful scrap. And he left the house, went to a saloon to get some drinks. And he got good and drunk. And he got into a fight with a guy. And he stabbed a guy. They had a trial. And he got life imprisonment. And after he was in prison for 15 years, the warden came in and said, "I got a message to give you. Your wife just died." He said, "Hooray! Now I'm a free man! Hooray!"
It was a little hard going, but the laugh meter finally registered 1,000, Harry.
That's really stretching them. We'll get to a cannibal.
You know, that's a tip war for me, Ward.
Oh, you back in, Senator?
Yeah, I'm going here.
This
I
one's
mean,
for
if you
Keith,
let me.
Yeah, come on.
I'll get in the word bragging somehow. Well, anyway, this draftee, this was in the last war, this draftee was bragging to his buddies about how rich his family was and his wonderful background and so forth and so on, when a sergeant appeared with an imposing-looking envelope, and he said, "Whoever knows all about automobiles, kindly step forward." So the scion of the wealthy family, thinking that here might be a chance to, be promoted from the ranks, he jumped up and he said, "Why, before I was drafted, I ran and operated my own Rolls Royce, my own Lincoln, and my own Cadillac. I really understand all about motor cars." The sergeant said, "Fine. Report to headquarters and give the colonel's car a good cleaning."
Senator, you're back right where you were last week.
Huh? Only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
I think that thing is set for me up there. You know, 950.
Think it's framed for you? Well, that doesn't top Mr. Jager's 1,000. He still holds his 25, and
yeah,
Joe,
I got
we haven't
one,
heard from you.
A couple of fellas meet one. Fellow looks at him and says, Rabinovich. He says, Epstein. He says, I haven't seen in years and years and years. Tell me, so what has happened to you? So they talk and talk. He says, you know, I'm married nice. I got a little baby. She's a cute little doll. He says, she's walking a little bit now. She's talking a little bit. Goo-goo, mama, woo-hoo. He says, I don't understand it so well, but my wife understands everything. So he's telling everything, bragging about this kid. So Epstein says, well, I got a little fella too, Montgomery. He says... Is he smart? Oh, is he smart. When I leave in the morning, when I get up, he says, goodbye, Papa. Don't be long at the office. Come home early. He says, and he talks so plain, so distinctly, every word. He says, that's wonderful. How old is your boy, Montgomery? He says, 12 years old.
$1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Just the age of the joke, Joe.
All the boys will be back with another round of fun after a word from our sponsor.
Let's get back to business of jokes once again now, and here's one sent in by Mrs. Stephen L. Chapman of Morris Plains, New Jersey, and this is on the subject of visitor. Visitor, which gives you quite a bit of latitude. So, Pete, let's go calling with this one.
Well, a visitor knocked on the door of Fred Jones' house, and after a little while, the door opened, and there was a huge woman. Oh, a great big Amazon of a woman, and this... ugly face. She looked like Lena of Lois Labovia's agent, this one. Oh, with his face. So she looked down at the visitor. She said, yes, what is it, my good man? He said, excuse me, but I'm a member of the Passaic Pinochle and Pinball Athletic Club, and I was told to call on our chairman, Mr. Jones. He's the chairman of the party we're having Friday night, and I was told to come over and see him. Is this Mr. Jones' house?
She said, yes, it certainly is.
Oh, he says, you wouldn't be Mr. Jones or anything.
She said, no, of course not. I'm his mother-in-law.
He says, well, he's our chairman. I didn't expect he'd be so well upholstered. I guess you are. He said, could you tell me where I could find Mr. Jones, please?
She said, yes, he has gone fishing.
He says, oh, well, I guess it would be pretty tough to find him if your son-in-law went fishing.
She says, oh, no, not at all. You can't miss him. Just walk down to the bridge until you find a fishbowl with a worm on each end.
I think it was stuck on your hand, Pete.
900 is the final score in the laugh meter award.
It gives you boys a little latitude this time to top Mrs. Chapman's joke. So let's take a look at hands and Joe Laurie's as the first
one. Well, in the war, during the first part of the war, there was the barracks of a lot of rookies just in. And they were making a lot of noise. Oh, singing and everything. So a second lieutenant opens the door, and when they see him, they say, attention! And they all get up and salute and everything. And everybody is quiet, and they all stand at attention except one fella. He's whistling and laughing and hollering and yelling. And he finally looks up. He says, stand up, you. So the guy stands up. He says, wipe that smile off your face. Stop whistling. He says, what outfit do you belong to? What company do you belong to? He says, I belong to the Eagle Hand Laundry. I just called for the laundry, that's all.
It almost made it. But only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
Which tops Mrs. Chapman's 900. However, she still holds her $10 this far. And, Senator, I think your hand was up second.
Well, that guy Joe just told reminded me of Dobie Dildock. He was a private in the last war. And an officer said to him one day, we expect some visitors for lunch today. They're ranking officers from another sector. I want you to stand at the door and call the officers' names as they come in. And Dopey said, call the officers' names as they come in. He said, I know a lot of names I could call them, but who's going to keep me out of the guardhouse?
600, 800, 1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Over 950.
You got over your
own
hurdle.
Had the thing fixed.
I had it pushed up.
You know, Mrs. Chapman, for a while that Ward was going to say 950. What's the joke?
Mrs. Chapman still has her $10, which she's clinging to tenaciously. Harry, how about you in this round?
A guy comes to New York for the first time, first visit in New York, and he figures he can get a big stake here, you know, the black market going on and everything. So he goes to a fellow and said, listen, I'm a stranger in town. Money is no object to me at all. I want a big stake. I'm dying for a big stake. Can you tell me where I can go where I can get one of those speakeasy for steaks? So the guy told him, and he went there and he says, money no object. Don't care what you charge. Big steak. The guy says, you're going to get the real thing here. So he got a big steak and he ate it and he enjoyed it. So he went back to his hometown. Said, gee, New York is a great place. He says, I got myself a steak there. Mmm, the real thing. But something funny has happened ever since. Every time I walk down the street and somebody says, giddy up, I start to run.
That sure looks like another solid 1,000 on the Laugh Meet Award.
Well, here's another one sent in by Mrs. George A. Skinner of Westport, Connecticut. And this is something dear to your hearts, I'm sure. Actors. Actors. So, Pete, you take all the ham out of this one, will you?
Well, this happened in the saloon, and little Patty Mulvaney was hanging comfortably on the bar. He'd been there most of the afternoon. All of a sudden, in walked a very, very famous ham actor. Oh, what a ham this guy was. People thought he had freckles. They were really cloves, believe me. Oh, such a ham this guy. So he moves right up to Patty, and he says, ah, there, my esteemed and alcoholic colleague. He says, you are looking at the most sensational actor ever to grace the American stage.
So, Patty looked up
and said, is that so? He said, get away from me, will you? Can I have another beer, please?
The fellow said, wait a moment. I'll buy the beer. I want to tell you about my most triumphal stage tour that I have just completed. Would you believe it, my dear sir? In St. Louis, I ruled the audience in the aisles.
You should hold him in the aisles, is that so? Get away, will you, please?
He said, oh, but wait, let me finish. He said, in Chicago, I knocked them cold.
You knocked them cold in Chicago?
He said, yes, I did. And let me tell you, in Kansas City, I brought down the house.
She said, that's so? You brought down the house? Oh, my God.
He said, and that isn't all. In Philadelphia, I bowled them over. Now, what do you think of that? I can see that you're impressed.
He says, impressed? Ha ha! Yes, I was just thinking what a wonderful house wrecker you'd make.
Guess what, Pete?
Only 950 is what the laugh meter says, Ward.
You boys just have a little latitude this time to top Mrs. Skinner's joke. Harry, I think your hand was up first.
Well, Ford, Laurie, and myself got an engagement on account of this program. And we went to some place in Connecticut. I won't give you the name of the town. And they billed us very heavily. You know, we appeared together doing a vaudeville act. So a moron came over to the box office. He said, Ford, Laurie, and Hirschfield, are they funny? The fellow says, funny? We're on there on the stage. You can hear them laughing across the street. He says, what are they playing across the street?
$1,000 on the Laugh Meter Award.
Ward,
yeah.
That's what is called fitting Laurie, Hirschfield, and Ford into an old joke.
You really cloaked it very well, though, I thought. It fit in very nicely. Let's see, Mrs. Skinner still has her $10. We haven't heard from Senator or Joe. Joe, I guess you're next.
Yeah, this is one that Jack Barrymore told me a long time ago. It's about himself, too. He tells about himself. He says he was in a town and he was in a very, very dramatic show. The Jest, I believe it was. And in a very important dramatic part of the show, there was a fellow sitting in the front row, started to applaud. And he broke up the scene. He kept on applauding. Well, it broke up Jack Barrymore, and he was very temperamental. And he got dressed quickly after the show and waited for the fellow outside. Finally, gets a hold of him. He says, hey. He says, you. He says, were you sitting in the front row? The other man that was sitting in the front row? He says, yes, I was sitting in the front row. He says, you know, you broke up my performance. What was the idea of applauding right in the middle of my dramatic scene? He says, who cared about your dramatic scene? I wasn't even listening to you. He says, what do you mean you weren't listening? What were you applauding for? He says, I was humming a tune to myself, and I liked it, so I applauded.
Well, apparently the audience did too, Joe.
$1,000 on the Laugh Meter.
Also topping Mrs. Skinner's $950. She's still hanging on to that $10. And, Senator, we haven't heard from you yet.
Well, that gag that Joe just told reminds me of the guy who was applauding some very bad acting while the rest of the audience was hissing. So fellow alongside him said, "How can you applaud such bad acting?" He said, "I'm not applauding the acting, I'm applauding the hissing." That doesn't count. Right?
We discount that.
No, that's funny. There was an actor some years ago. The boys know who he is. I won't mention his name. He was what is known as a bow stealer. He would take a bow if somebody applauded or even rustled a program. He would come out and take another bow. He liked the spotlight so much that it was really his undoing. One time he went on an ocean voyage, and on a dark night he fell overboard. And he was swimming pretty well until somebody put a searchlight on him and he took a bow.
Well, you can take a bow on that one, Senator.
1,000 on the Laugh Meter Award.
You know what astounds me is how that thing gets up over 950 for me this week.
Well, it may have been an accident, but there it was anyway.
Don't go away. We'll have another round of jokes in a few moments.
Get back to the jokes once again. Here's one sent in by Louis Eisenmeyer of Brooklyn, New York, on the subject of something you better not brag about. Flirt. Flirt. So, Pete, suppose you make eyes at this one.
Well, it's about a very, very flirty guy by the name of Errol Feitelbaum. The Casanova of the concourse. And Errol had a very bad habit. He was always whistling at girls. He whistled at so many girls, once a month he had to have his pivot tooth tuned. So, anyway, finally, one girl got mad and she had him arrested. So they pull him into court, and the judge says, "Young man, this is a very serious charge. Why do you whistle at girls?" Well, before the boy could answer, a little woman jumped up in the back of the court.
She said, "Just a minute, just a minute. Georgiana, Your Excellency, hold the horse hands."
So he said, "Yes, madam, what can I do for you?"
She says, "What could you do for me? Drop dead, that's what you could do." Picking on this boy, this little kid, picking on him, and for what? For making a bistle whistle? Why don't you listen? Maybe there's exterminating circumstances here. Says he, maybe the boy wants to join the Navy and be a regular sort of a ship ahoy fella. So he's got to practice whistling a bit. You want when all the other sailors are whistling at girls, this boy shall go poo 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 like he's got cold sores or something? Says he, listen, he's a good kid. He was 4 years in the Boy Scouts. He won the overseas ribbon for hiking in Bear Mountain. He also got 4 poison ivy clusters. Listen, it was in the Boy Scouts he learned to whistle like a dicky boy. Now he's a good kid. Don't pick on him.
So the judge was kind of moved by this plea. He said, "Madam, this is most unusual." He says, "I don't even know who you are. Why do you paint such a fine picture of this boy?"
She says, "Why do I paint the picture? Because I'm this whistler's mother."
Well, you certainly did justice to that one, Peter. 1,000 on the Laugh Meter.
Making an automatic $25 from Mr. Eisenmeyer and putting you boys just out for laughs this time.
Oh, follow that.
Oh, it's going to be a little rugged, I'm afraid.
Well, I will and get it over with.
Okay, Senator, you're the first to volunteer.
This old geezer was at a party, and he flirted with a blonde, and the blonde said to him, "You know, you're a wow." So he was very much pleased, so he ran over to a crony of his, and he said, "Can you imagine that pretty little blonde over there said I was a wow? I'm very much pleased about it." The other guy said, "You know what a wow means? You spell it W-O-W. She means worn out wolf."
That was really great, Senator. 1,000 on the left.
Applause from the mother, please. Happy days are here again, Senator. Harry, you want to get in next?
Yes. A fella flirted with a gal, and he took her immediately out to a cafe, and then they went for canoeing, and they went to a dance hall, and finally he took her home. And as he took her to his door, he said, "Come on, give me a goodbye kiss, will you?" She says, "I'm very sorry. I didn't give goodbye kisses the first time I meet somebody. I don't do those things." So she goes in the house, closes the door. He says, "Come on out. Give me a kiss, will you, please?" She says, "No, I don't give a kiss. I wouldn't do it." He says, come on, I'm getting mad. Give me a kiss, come out here, or I'll take my right arm and I'll break down the door.
He says, a strong man all of a sudden. A minute ago, he couldn't lift my veil and help himself.
Well, that keeps the record clean so far. 1,000 all the way down the line so far. Not touching Mr. Eisenhower's 1,000 to begin with. Joe, how about
you? Yeah, I've got a real short one. Two guys standing outside on the corner, and one of them, Dame passes, and he says, oh, get a load of that babe. Look at that doll. Get a load of that chassis. And get a load of those games. And the other guy says, those kind of dames. 10 cents a dozen. Says, why? He said, you can get those kind of dames. 10 cents a dozen. He says, here's a dime. Get me a dozen, will you?
Well, that concludes the first perfect round of the evening, Joe. That gives me another frog.
Join us next week, the same time, the same gang. Other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Senator Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Peter Donald.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.